such a gorgeous film. I'm just about recovering from it.
When did you see it?
I saw it yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
And had to have a bit of a walk around London afterwards.
That's beautiful.
just to contemplate life and its meanings, you know.
Come on, that's the dream. That's beautiful.
So it's absolutely wonderful. How did it all begin? What inspired this incredible story?
Very gradual over a long time. I mean, honestly, first ideas of this, I just had images in my head and music, and I was in high school, you know, and I had no idea what that would tie to. From a base level of that to what the movie became is like over a decade. I would say really what the movie ultimately, it was like living life stuff, getting on the other side of that and having perspective, meeting key people in my life, becoming new like loved ones. And that's really everything that informed what the movie eventually became. I know that's very broad,
yeah.
But it's a lot. And there's a lot in the movie, and it's coming from a lot of different places.
Yeah. And it feels very raw and intimate. So is it based on kind of any personal experiences, or did you do lots of research on the characters?
Much more personal stuff than research. definitely research stuff too. I'd say the whole movie's kind of functioning with either some kind of autobiographical or semi-autobiographical element, and then it goes to fictional narrative, then it comes back to that real-life thing, then back to fictional narrative, and the whole story is kind of looping like that. And a lot of it's from my life or loved ones' lives or, you know, collaboration, you know, collaborating with Kelvin. That dictating more of what it really became, all that stuff wrapped together.
Yeah, and it's absolutely gorgeous. My favorite thing about this the story and how you tell it is the contrasts between Emily and Tyler and how they grow, especially in, it's so detailed. Especially in the aspect ratio and the sound design is my favorite aspect. Tyler's much more boxed in and his distorted sound, where Emily's much more free. How did you develop that kind of key element to the story?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of things. So I think it starts with that contrast you're talking about. And it starts with, you know, I kind of had an epiphany, like, what if the movie, I think you could see it as being about dichotomies in our lives and our link to those and how that kind of makes us human. And then literally structuring the movie in a dichotomy and structuring it in two different perspectives, a male point of view and a female's, a brother and a sister, and Tyler and Emily and these specific people. So then it gets to that. And then it's just being honest to them. Trying to be, let them dictate all your choices. So our approach with the movie was to make it very subjective and immersive, and trying to make the interior state of the characters emotionally and kind of spiritually come out through the filmmaking. So that's with the ratio, with the aspect ratios, with the camera movements, with the colors, with the music, with the sound design, and it's all that stuff, but then just taking it to a base level, like, where are Tyler and Emily at? Where is their headspace at? And how can we translate that through the filmmaking to get an audience clicked into their perspective? And hopefully dream is to feel what they're feeling as much as possible. So it's just like taking it to that base level. And then that gets very complex because there's a lot going on in the movie. But it's always, it comes to that base level of, like, just being honest to Tyler or Emily's headspace.
Absolutely. And it even comes through in their story and their journey. Yeah. So, like, Tyler's experience with drugs is much more chaotic than Emily's much more freer one.
Yep.
She's burgeoning relationship. He's breaking down one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's there you go. I mean, at a base level, too, the movie, it's two parts. And I think the first part is about sort of like understanding how this tragedy transpires, and the second half is like, can we heal after that tragedy, you know? And it's from two different perspectives, two people who are at two different points in their lives, going through two different experiences. So again, I guess it's just like figuring out those experiences and perspectives and being honest to it. And I think another huge part of that, in that contrast, is like Tyler's is like taking a world
And then that world is getting dismantled basically at a rapid pace to where he doesn't even have a chance to process. That's what Kel and I talked a lot about too. Like if there just would have been a bigger gap between the things that were falling apart in his life, he could have had a normal time to process and gotten through it. And I've seen too with loved ones and lives, I've seen a little bit of my own life too. Like things can change in an instant so quick and so drastically. That a life can kind of go off the rails really quick. So we just wanted to be honest to that and understand that. And then Emily's is the inverse in the sense like it's the total opposite. She's starting where her world is falling apart. So it's about sort of building something new again and trying to move through grief and move through some healing. So it's just a very different journey, and she's a different person from Tyler. So yeah, it's just sort of like figuring out who they are, what their experience is, and then being honest to it.
So expertly done. It's so gorgeous. Thank you so much. Just wraps you into this world. And there's also this really lovely comment on toxic masculinity in Tyler's world. How did you develop that kind of strand of storytelling?
The toxic masculinity was really organic because that's again, like I think for me, my segue in were the broad yin and yang of the whole thing. And then the specificity of something like that toxic masculinity happens really organically in the sense that you're pulling on real life stuff and it hugely with the collaboration of Calvin. And basically it was us pulling on our experiences in that age and also relationship with our fathers. The toxic masculinity comes out naturally from pulling on that real life stuff and trying to explore that and make it honest, and then a theme emerges, you know.
Yeah, and then it has a wonderful exploration with Emily's femininity and how the dad gets to confront his own views of toxic masculinity as well.
Absolutely, that's the whole that's the arc of the journey. And but again, like that, it's something that sort of happens naturally, even to the fact of like. I think inspiration for that family dynamic is based on some families I know and some things I've observed too, and some dynamics where the male can be favored and be a bit of the star and the female in the shadows. So we got really excited at the idea of this young woman in the shadows coming out and becoming the heartbeat and soul and taking over the movie in that sense. And to that toxic masculinity, I think the dad too has a really, really beautiful arc.
And obviously, I mean, the direction and writing is great, but the performances and
they're
what
so
you
good,
they're
right?
so good.
I don't know, man. I just think they're the best. I think they're the best cast in the world, and I'm just humbled to like get to work with all of them.
And the young cast gets to do with some hard, difficult subjects. How did you work closely with those two to?
Well, it was amazing. It was, I think it all started from that dynamic with Kel. So with Kel, it was just natural. And like, we love each other. We trust each other. We're making this thing we love together. How can we build on that? How can I, with strangers and casting and finding roles, it's like, okay, trying to find first super talented people and then people that like you talk to and it feels like you just connect at a human level and connect it as human beings and both connect in what this story is about. And then it just goes further. And then it's, talking about everything, you know, so whether that's with Taylor, whether that's with Alexa, whether that's with Kelvin and Alexa and talking about some very serious, heavy scenes, and what we're getting at, what we're going after, and just embedding and being in the same page and then just going for it. And then like all this preparation and talk and building trust and then just like them just going for it and exploring. And I think a lot of that is a stab building up that trust and then trying to set up a filming environment to boost that up and let them be. And then they can just like dive in, you know?
Yeah, they definitely get put through the ringer and like.
Yes. There's some hot, almost everyone in the cast has something tough to go through. So yeah, they just blew me away, man.
It's amazing. I know it's kind of like a cliche to talk about where you set it as being another character, but Miami plays such a big part here. Like with the cinematography from Drew Daniels, you can sense the heat and the and all that kind of gorgeous weather of it. How does Miami come to play, and how did you figure it in the development of the story?
So much. Florida was the first place I moved after I left home and left Texas. I still live there and I love it. We shot 30 minutes north of Miami in Broward, which is like Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Davie area. And it really naturally, I'm still a bit in love with Florida. You know, it's different from home. You know, home, it's home. But then, like, when you move somewhere new and feel inspired, it's like, I'm in love with Florida, and, like, I want to do it justice. And it's also a very personal movie, drawing on a lot of personal things. It was exciting to, like, set a movie in my girlfriend's hometown, and just trying to explore it honestly and be inspired. So... I know it's organic, but like it is organic, and like you're just like in love with something and want to explore it and do it justice. And you know, and then bringing Drew over, he wasn't in Florida a lot, so that hugely helps the collaboration and the hunt for stuff. So yeah, I don't know, man. I wanted to do Florida justice. That was the goal.
I feel like the setting plays well to like a fairy tale esque, especially with the rivers and the manatees.
I love that.
Emily's a princess in some ways, coming, getting out of her castle. And
I love that. Hell yeah. I honestly never thought of that, but I love it. And it is, I mean, Florida is just a crazy unique place, I think. One of the most unique places I've lived. And it's between the people, between the wildlife, between the landscape. And there's a lot of mini worlds spread throughout Florida. So just like getting to explore a little side of that was really, really fun. And some of that, though, is just putting your favorite places in the movie. Like even the spring is like my favorite spring. Every time my girlfriend and I go and kayak, we see a manatee. And like, so like infusing that personal nature with all these things you're inspired by.
Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Thank and obviously you. I'd be remiss not talking about the amazing score.
Oh yeah, heck yeah. Thank you.
They're probably one of my favorite composer duos. How did that come about? And
I just got very lucky. Shockingly, they reached out to me. One of the coolest emails of my life. Like agents were like, Trent Reznor is a fan and wants to meet. And I like jumped on a plane and met them in LA. And it, right away, it was that other thing of like, just feel connected. Like it felt like I already know y'all and we've never met. And they dug the other movies. I'm a massive fan. Even to like, I remember being in high school after I tore my shoulder, picking up a camera again and filming weird things in my backyard, then editing a Nine Inch Nails. Like it just felt really meant to be. Long story short, I'm just blessed I got to work with them and that they were down to like, work together. And I think the score is interesting too, because it's a huge, the very music heavy film between soundtrack and score. So, finding the differentiation in that, I guess, and like what the score is doing that the soundtrack's not, was really exciting. And, I think what we settled on is, again, like letting the internal spirit of the character in the film kind of come out, and I think sonically with the score. So that goes from like Trent and Atticus would take literal sounds from the movie and manipulate them again and use them musically, and then just be inspired by that was another thing of like sort of the spirit of the film and almost the spirit and the link between brother and sister, even though they're rarely together. That's a link that's undying and always there and a part of the movie. So themes that come across in the score and everything are inspired by that link and picking these particular moments. So yeah, I just feel really, really damn blessed that I got to work with them.
Yeah. And going back, the songs are so purposeful as well in the soundtrack. Are these ones that you had in mind, or did you just cut like?
Very much was sort of building an epic playlist for a long time, where I almost wanted the movie to feel like if you just went on Emily or Tyler's computer, this would be like a playlist on one of their computers and like felt honest to them. And yes, it was music was written into the script. And then we went so far to embed it into the script to where you could press play and pause when you're reading it for the first time, when we were sending it out to financiers or actors. So yeah, I saw it in the vein of like soundtrack films where like for me, every song has a purpose, not and it dictates the ebb and flow of the movie, and it also has a greater purpose of being in line with the arc of the film and the arc of the characters, whether that's lyrically or emotionally and all that, you know.
Yeah, well, I haven't stopped listening to the score and soundtrack since I watched it, and I haven't stopped thinking about the film. So congratulations on such a gorgeous film. Thank you.